We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
But it's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour at Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Got a whole bunch of poll questions to get to. We'll get to them coming up later on in the final hour of the show. Mailbag coming up in 12 minutes, 13 minutes if you have any questions.
Mail sack.
Mail sack. Apologies.
Mail sack.
Mail sack. Any questions, sports or non-sports related, you can get send them in. 55305 is the bet of you today. Tux Lime, we got a couple of leftovers from last week as well that we need to get to. Let's start with some general college football, though, because we haven't really talked about anything outside of the conference. Who was the biggest, who impressed you the most? Clemson, Alabama, Georgia kind of feel like givens, and none of them really played anybody, so what do you take from it? Alabama beat Duke, Clemson beat Georgia Tech, and I don't even know who Georgia played.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of the three obvious teams that are in their own universe, and we know that they're in their own universe, who impressed you the most this week?
Outside of the obvious. You know, I think that's a tough one to ask.
Because nobody really played anybody or beat anybody.
I know,
it wasn't like there was
problem.
A marquee. I mean, the only team with a top 25 win this year is Auburn. Auburn's the only one.
Give me a second. I obviously wasn't ready for this question, nor do I think there really is an answer.
Well, I figured most people at this point are going with Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts.
Well, but I put them in that.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious ones to me are
they've
just.
They've been in the playoffs, so
I know.
I put them in that category. If you're going to go non-Bama Clemson, yeah, it would have to be Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts because Jalen Hurts had a lot of questions. You were one of them that questioned it and wondered, and I think you still should. But he went out there and he set a record. And they look good, and they weren't perfect. He wasn't satisfied whatsoever, and I loved his kind of demeanor. It was just like, who cares that we won this game? You know what I mean? It was, we didn't play well enough, according to our standards of what we're aiming to do here in Norman. And honestly, there's a lot of great coaches in college football. I do think Lincoln Riley is the best coach to not have a ring right now. And I say that with a high amount of respect for a lot of other guys you can name that don't have rings as well, but he is just so innovative and so revolutionary right now in the moment that watching the impact he has had, if Jalen Hurts plays that way, he has similar Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield type stuff, there's not a better offensive coach in the country. And I say that having a lot of respect for even a Mike Leach, but that is a level that is almost unprecedented to have three straight transfer kids come in and back to back to back. They go in there and they give you that kind of production. Oklahoma looked damn good. And I think they gave a lot of people a reason to go, are we sure Texas is back? Let's pump the brakes a little bit on that one.
Well, Texas has a chance for a marquee win earlier than Oklahoma does because they play LSU this weekend. That's the big time game of week two of college football.
I also think Ohio State, even though they didn't play anybody impressively, I think...
Well, again, nobody did. Like, Houston's not a good football team.
But watching Ohio State go out there and Justin Fields looking as comfortable as he ever has, they got off to a huge start quick. I thought they were going to win that game by 50 points.
And he set records as well for touchdowns and stuff in a debut.
He did. And their defense, like, the one thing about Ohio State, Fields might be questionable, and maybe you don't think they'll be as good because Urban is Urban, but... defensively, they have horses on that side of the ball, and I think they're going to be a big problem and still a reason to win the Big Ten.
Yeah, I thought Ohio State looked really good. You had to be impressed by what Jalen Hurts did. I think the interesting part about him and with Oklahoma the rest of the year, like, we knew they were going to be good offensively. The difficult thing is finding out how good, because they're not necessarily going to be challenged this year. And you just think of the defenses in the Big 12. Right? I mean, how many legit? You don't have any legitimate defenses in that conference. They play UCLA and I think South Dakota or something like that in their another non-conference games. So you go Houston, South Dakota, whatever, and then at UCLA. So I mean, you're not getting challenged in the non-conference. Then you get Texas Tech and Kansas to open up Big 12 play. Like, they're playing bad defense after bad defense after bad defense. And so he's going to continue to put up numbers and look good. And I think everybody expected that. The tough part with Oklahoma will be when they finally get challenged. And I just don't know. Maybe it's Texas. Maybe it's, you know, Iowa State. But Iowa State almost lost to Northern Iowa. They had to go to three overtimes. And they were kind of the dark horse for some people. Maybe it's TCU at the end of the year because Gary Patterson can coach defense up a little bit. But there's not necessarily that juggernaut defensively in the conference they're going to have to face. So I think it's going to take a while to see legitimately how good this offense is against a dominant defense. The part about Oklahoma that would concern me slightly, and they started great and then I thought it faltered, was they needed to show improvement on defense. And they did early. Like, Houston couldn't get a first down for the first, I think, quarter and a half of that game. Like, they couldn't move the ball at all.
That sounds about right, yeah.
And then they ended up giving up 31 points, and I think Derek King is his name, right, or De'Aaron King, whatever, ended up moving it consistently. That's where, like, if Oklahoma wants to take that step on the national stage, there's one thing missing, and it's the defense. They've had the best offense in college football for back-to-back years. They've scored points in their college football playoff games against Alabama and against Georgia. They haven't been able to get a stop to save their lives. And I think you're hopeful with Grinch being there, like, all right, you'll see the progress, and maybe they're going to be better on that side of the ball as the year goes on. But the defense didn't show me what I needed to see in order to feel like, all right, they're on the same level as Clemson, Alabama, or Georgia.
Well, and I think a couple other teams, if we're just going week one, you know, how'd you feel? How did you view it versus what you thought they would be? I'll give you two more. Washington State played New Mexico State. Thank you. I was kind of curious. You know, I had this confidence that his quarterback would be good. Anthony Gordon really impressed me. I think that kid officially puts fear in everybody in the Pac-12. And yet again, in a year where I think, oh, maybe this is finally, they're like 7-5 or 6-6. Well, let's pump the brakes on that one, because he looked like he was as good as Gardner Minshew. And maybe they're able to figure something out yet again to go get 9-10, hell, an 11-win season yet again. So even though they played a much lesser opponent, sure, I think 58-7 going out there and doing what he did was really damn impressive. It was Jalen Hurts-like to me. And then another one, you may not buy them long-term, and I'm not even sure I do. Wisconsin whooped South Florida's ass on national TV.
Hey, they're finally rid of Hornibrook, so I'm okay to listen to the Wisconsin hype again.
And Jonathan Taylor, I mean, they knew going into that game, the Bulls,
I think.
They knew going into that Jonathan Taylor was going to be the thing to stop, and they couldn't. And anytime a team can do that and then go hang 49 in front of the other team's fan base, that is impressive. You may not buy them as a Big Ten legit threat, but man, if their quarterback play is just 20% better than what Hornibrook was, they may have something to say about this Big Ten title this year as well.
Yeah, that's one to keep an eye on, no doubt. That's an interesting one. One coach who did not have a good season opener was old Willie Taggart. They lost, and we talked about it yesterday. They blew a big lead to Boise State, who's now in the top 25. What a big win for Boise State. They feel like they do that every year. People take them for granted a little bit, and there they are knocking off an ACC team on the road in their own house. Well, he did hit a radio hit yesterday on their local radio affiliate in Tallahassee, and he came up with the excuse. You know why they lost?
I do. I'll let you tell the listeners, because, of course, he has an excuse for everything.
They weren't hydrated properly, man. God. Darn it. If only
we didn't play a team that's used to humidity. Oh, wait, we played Boise. If only we didn't play in a city that has humidity. Oh, wait, we've always been in Tallahassee.
Oh, wait.
If only we would have been up 31-13, we wouldn't have let the humidity. Oh, wait, we were up 31-13.
They were up 31-13. Boise State scored the final 23 points of the game. They won 36-31. Taggart on the radio show said they need to start hydrating early in the week and take care of their bodies. Okay, we can't leave it up to our players just to do it. We got to force them to hydrate and take care of themselves. I don't know if we did a good job of that last weekend. One of those situations where you live and learn. We'll make sure that we help our guys when it comes to that.
The ACC sucks. It sucks. 7 of their 14 teams lost. He is a joke of a head coach. I said this yesterday, but for those that weren't here, if I was the AD, I probably would have fired him. I wouldn't even have cared. I don't care about the controversy. I don't care about the questioning of it. I don't care about the why'd you bring him back, because somebody like me probably would have asked that question. You can't blow a 31-13 lead in a football game.
At home against Boise State.
At home, where there was like 15 Boise State fans because the hurricane kept everybody away. You just can't. I don't see this thing getting better, but the ACC is such garbage that maybe they still end up with 8 or 9 wins this year. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, Bavion Johnson, one of their offensive linemen at Florida State, said that conditioning was not their strong suit. He said, no, we weren't prepared. I wasn't prepared. We all weren't prepared. I feel like it was just conditioning overall. That's what we need to get better at.
That's just such a look, no disrespect to the kid and total disrespect to Willie Taggart. It's such a lame-ass excuse to say, well, we blew our 31-13 lead because of conditioning.
And we weren't hydrated.
And we weren't hydrated. Guys, you went up 31-13. There's a reason for it. Like, what? You just rant? Your hydration level's just depleted to zero?
All over the field, man.
This is sometimes you get really good storylines from programs, coaches, what have you. This is one of the dumber ones that I've heard in quite some time. You're a Florida school complaining about hydration because of humidity. What did you think it was going to be in early September?
Wait, it's warm there?
It's warm? Oh. There's a lot of humidity? It's hurricane season? What? I'm shocked.
That cracked me up, man. I saw that story today.
That is totally one of the things that I'm with Duck Fan on. I understand it. And I get why you guys still... Should you move on? Maybe it was only 1 year that he coached there, but I get it. I do. I get it. I don't fault Duck Fan for it. A Beaver Fan was tweeting me, should I feel bad that I'm rooting hard against Utah State right now? I said,
not
hell
at all.
No.
Not at all.
F Gary Anderson.
How did they do this weekend?
They
did?
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that.
They kept it close, and I forget who they were playing, but
I think they were playing a somewhat marquee opponent.
It was somebody, yeah, and they kept it close.
Okay.
Oh, here it is. Wake Forest. That's
okay.
Right. They lost 38-35.
That's right. Okay. So there you go. Some college football notes from around the country. We'll get to a fun question at the bottom of the hour too. Which coach should be on the hotter hot seat? And that is, or the warmer hot seat, I guess, Willie Taggart or Jeremy Pruitt. We'll get to that coming up at the bottom of the hour. Cause yes, Tennessee lost at home to Georgia State. So if you're feeling bad about your program, just remember at least you didn't lose to Georgia State at home. And at least you didn't lose and then blame it on not hydrating your players, because clearly that was the issue for the Seminoles this weekend. Let's take a look inside the mail sack. If you got any questions for us, 55305 is the bet of you today. Text time. We got some leftovers from last week. We will answer your questions, then get back to some college football next on The Fan. Hey, welcome back in 217. Get back into some college football coming at the bottom of the hour, including how bad things are at Tennessee. And then you remember what they did a couple of years ago, and it correlates back to the Pac-12, and you just laugh. You just laugh. So we'll get to that coming up at 2:30. It is time for the mail sack. We need a drop for this, too, by the way. Oh.
Got an old-fashioned mail room. Remember when they had those big pitney bows and actually had to, like, sort mail?
Well played.
Oh.
Okay, I like that. We do need, like, a mail sack, you know, like they have on PTI.
Like PTI, yeah.
Drop one of those. If you got any questions for us, 55305, better you today, text line, fire away. Do we want to start sports or non-sports?
You lead the way, my man. Okay.
Do sports, because we'll probably rattle through those quickly.
You know, most people don't usually ask sports questions. One that we did get, though, somebody texted in. Here's a question for you. If Oregon runs the table and wins the Pac-12 title, finishes 11-1, do they make the playoffs?
I still think I'm on this train, and people think I'm a little crazy. I say yes. I think a one-loss Pac-12 team. And if Auburn's fourth or fifth, it's not ideal, but I think people will go, it's the SEC. We love the SEC more than anybody else. That's a respectable loss. They would have beaten Washington, Stanford at USC, and presumably a Utah. Yeah, I think a one-loss Oregon team would be in the playoff, because you're not going to have everybody with one loss.
I think it'll depend on who the other one-loss teams are. They're certainly in the conversation. They're not written off. But if you have – if Georgia and Alabama both – do they play each other in the regular season?
They do not.
So
next year they do.
Both get to the SEC title game – undefeated.
I feel like somebody's doing wood chipping right now.
I know, it does kind of sound like it, doesn't it? Yeah.
If they both get to the SEC title game undefeated, then I think they both go regardless of what happens in the title game, and then all bets are off.
Yeah, the tough part is
because
Clemson's not going to be in. Clemson's in. Yeah,
Clemson's not going to lose in the regular season.
No, not to that garbage.
So now
conference.
You've got either an Ohio State or Michigan that wins the Big 10. If Oklahoma wins the Big 12.
You want the hottest take of the world?
Sure.
Clemson very well could be the most talented team in college football. If they lose a game in this garbage-ass ACC, I don't know if they deserve it.
They will because they get the Alabama benefit of the doubt now.
But what if they lose to Florida State?
I know they will because Alabama didn't win their division and they made the playoff. They didn't win their division.
But the SEC is...
I don't care. They didn't win their division.
Dude.
They didn't even go to a conference title game and they still made the playoff. Like, when you set that precedent for Alabama, Clemson's now in that category. They could lose to... blind school for the U.
They can lose to Duke and be okay,
yes,
even though Alabama
still get
beat
in.
Duke by 39?
Yes, without a doubt, because they smoked Alabama last year and they've won two national titles. They get to play by a different set of rules. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. But they get to play by a different set of rules.
Somebody said, I'd like to hear the Blues Clues mail time song. You don't want to hear that. It gets stuck in your head really bad.
I don't know that song.
I still know it.
You still know that one?
Yeah.
Okay, we all done sorting. Oh, no, it picks back up. Nice. Okay.
New batch.
Yeah, I'll say, look, 11-1, they're in the mix, but you don't know, Swagger, I mentioned, you don't know what the rest of the landscape
He's
looks like.
He's not asking if it's in the mix. He's asking a yes or no question, boys. Stop fence sitting. Yes or no?
I'm going to say no as of now, because I think two SEC teams are going to get in. I think Clemson's going to get in, and then insert whether it's Oklahoma, Texas, or Michigan, Ohio State, or whatever, right? Oregon had a chance for a marquee win in the non-conference. They didn't get it. I think it's going to hurt them. But if you're in a landscape where Alabama or Georgia drops a couple, Michigan and Ohio State don't live up to the hype, Oklahoma and Texas struggle, and 11-1 is good for a fourth-best record in the country, then, yeah, I mean, they have the chance. But you just don't know what the rest of the landscape is going to look like. Somebody did ask, should Oregon have left their offensive coordinator in Dallas and not allowed back on the plane?
Boy, he is really – he's the entire frustration.
You know what this reminds me of is Seattle and Daryl Bevel.
Yes.
There's a lot of that.
Or even for a while, Aliotti.
Sure.
Aliotti's fault. The defense is mediocre. If only our defense was as great as our offense. It's like, well, sometimes that's easier said than done.
Yeah, the funny thing, too, is Seattle then replaced their offensive coordinator finally, and then what was the big criticism from their loss in the playoffs last year?
Brian Schottenheimer.
What is he?
Offensive coordinator.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it didn't change.
People are never happy.
No, it's the biggest lose, because if you win, offense. You should win. Like, yeah. Congratulations.
Right.
And if you don't, it's just, you can't succeed. So that's tough. Okay. Is that enough sports? If you have any other sports, you can send them in. The trailer of Breaking Bad came out for their new Breaking Bad movie.
It did?
There's a new one out, yeah.
I know it's actually about to release quicker than people think. Like, they've already filmed it.
It's coming out on Netflix soon, yeah.
Oh, it's a Netflix movie.
It's a Netflix movie. Uh-huh. And it's a guy being interrogated talking about not giving up Jesse Pinkman and his whereabouts.
Because Pinkman has a scene. He tweeted this out, Aaron Paul.
Uh-huh.
He said, watch this scene. It'll give you an idea of where the movie's going. And it's a scene with Jesse in the hospital and Walt trying to get him to come back and cook. And he's like, why would I do that? You told me my stuff sucks. It's not as good as yours. And Walt walks away and says, you're really good, Jesse. You're really good. And then he just walks out. So it's led to believe he's going to get back into cooking.
Okay.
You know.
What TV show would you like to see a movie made out of?
Some of these shows can't be made because their people are too old. Boy. I don't know if I want to see any of my TV shows as movies.
I would go recently with a major disappointment, and that is they need a movie for Game of Thrones now. I want a movie. I'm not ready for that to be the ending. I hated the ending. The final season sucked. I want a movie added on top of it just to try and make it better.
Just thing, though, I mean, the reason that they break that up into a series is just because there's so many different storylines. How do you put it in?
I got one.
Even if you get a three-hour epic movie, how do you put it all together?
I got one you guys would never... You may not even heard of the show, let alone watched it. But it was one the wife and I started watching together. Because, you know, it's a little give and take. I would like to see a rom-com of the TV show Divorced, starring Sarah Jessica Parker and the guy that's in a lot of things, and I never remember his name. I'm in for a good rom-com.
That's where you're going, huh? That's what you want? Of all the TV shows, that's where you go?
I'm one of those that thinks Sarah Jessica Parker is actually underrated hot.
Ooh, yeah, I'm going to disagree there, Bob.
Not currently.
Well,
sure.
What have you?
Okay.
If you want to go back to her Footloose and Square Pegs days, then maybe I'll have that conversation.
I mean, if we're thinking ideal, I'm thinking more honeymoon in Vegas.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm Samantha. I have sex with everybody.
Okay, I can't believe that's the show of all the shows you could pick. That's where you went.
I was trying to think of all the shows, and I'm like, well... Yeah. Mindhunter, maybe Mindhunter, but I feel like that's already been a movie.
Yeah, I have one more episode in season two. It's good. I love that show. It's an underrated show on Netflix.
We're still chugging along in season one.
Is it picked up for you a little bit?
It is, yeah. We're totally in. Yeah,
it takes a couple episodes.
Once the guy starts describing why he murdered who he murdered.
When he starts interviewing this, Yeah.
It gets deep, it gets dark, and it just takes you down a rabbit hole, man.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Mindhunter, you need to watch. It's a good show on Netflix.
Would Stranger Things be a good movie?
No, I don't think so. Although I think they are coming out with another season. I do love me some Stranger Things, but I don't know about a movie. TV shows are tough. I mean, it's just how many TV shows have been made into good movies? Name me one. Like the HBO ones that they did the Sex and the City movie stand out? The Entourage movie sucked.
The first Sex and the City resonated with people financially because they made money on it. The second one sucked.
Sure.
In that regard, ratings, what have you.
That one's tough. So I hope they don't ruin Breaking Bad because love Breaking Bad.
Chernobyl would have been an amazing movie.
Yeah, that's more of a miniseries, though. I almost viewed it as a movie.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's better, I think, as a miniseries than it would have been, but it would have been a good movie. Succession is probably my favorite show that I'm watching. I don't think that would have made... That's not going to make a good movie.
Okay.
Ballers.
Okay, you can only have one of these.
As long as The Rock is saving the world with one arm and holding onto the hot chick with the other arm.
Does he have giant, wolves running around New York City, too, with him? You can only have one of these, one of the following for the rest of your life, okay?
All right.
Donuts, pie, cake, or ice cream?
Pie.
Ice cream.
Pie.
Donuts, pie,
cake, or
ice cream.
That's not even hard for me.
I think I go ice cream.
Pie is my number one dessert.
Okay.
Power rank number one.
Okay. There you go. That one was easy to answer. Chicago or New York style pizza?
New York. That's not even a conversation.
Yeah, that really isn't. That's not even close.
No disrespect. Chicago style is not actual pizza, but it is really creative, delicious lasagna. But New York's, if we're going pizza, it's New York and there's nothing else.
Okay.
Wood fire, too.
Just got back to the radio. Are you guys deep frying something? No, we are not deep frying
something.
That's
the mail room. Sorting the mail.
I appreciate the effort. I don't know if this is going to last long
term.
That's
okay. We'll try something again next week.
I'm okay with it.
I was like, we got to have something. Let's try this.
One more sports-related one. Seen more stuff on Kevin Love coming to Portland. Are you buying it?
No.
Not till Hassan Whiteside pouts, quits. And they're so desperate because they're not where they want to be that they pull a move like that off.
Okay.
They have to be like the sixth seed or worse at the trade deadline for them to toy with the notion of that trade. That's my opinion.
Well, and all the stuff, everything they had to do to finagle the salary cap to make it work now, what they'd have to give up for the salaries to match to get Kevin Love. I don't know how.
What's Kevin's yearly?
Wouldn't it just be
a clean Whiteside for Love?
Yeah, but you got more on top. I mean, you're going to have to pay him in the future. Because he's got 3 years. Yeah, you're not getting out of it.
Unless you get him to have a better year and then you use
him
as trade
28.
Bait.
No, 29, 28, 31, 31, 28. He's got 4 more years left on his deal.
I mean, so here's realistically what it would be if you made that trade. It would be something along the lines of Kent Bazemore, who's, I believe, at...
Right around where Evan Turner was.
It'd be a Whiteside or Bazemore, and then you would be packaging a big.
Sure.
Like another big, a
Do
younger
really
number.
Do you think Kevin Love's going to play 4 more years, though? That's the issue.
I mean, he's under contract, so I think he's going to bounce around as long as he can.
Swigard suggesting a quick retirement, huh?
I mean, he's 31 this year. He's going to be 34 in the final year of that deal. That's a bad contract.
32 or 33 million in the final year.
He's super into the mental health thing. He seems like he's got other interests off the court. Like, I think he's.
I just think
girlfriend, fiance. Like, life does change very quickly for people.
Well, I think if he has one more significant injury where he's out for a long time, then he's going to debate how much he wants to go through another rehab at this point.
Somebody said 21 Jump Street was a good movie.
Yeah, 21 Jump Street was a really funny movie.
But I'll say this, though. I feel like when we're talking TV shows being turned into movies, it's the same cast.
Yeah, they recast
like
the
that
entire
was
thing.
A completely different cast. And how long, when was the 21 Jump Street TV show on?
The 80s?
Yeah, right? It's been a long time. So I think I don't quite view that the same way. Deadwood was one. Now, I love Deadwood, the TV show. I still haven't watched the movie because I wanted to rewatch the show before I watched the movie. But that, I thought, was an underrated TV show for HBO. So I can't speak to that movie yet, but that was one that came out recently. HBO did the Deadwood movie.
You know, I'll give you one for just nostalgia reasons. Okay. I'd like a movie checkup, even though the movie would probably be horrific. Family Matters. I want to know if Carl Winslow's retired. Did Urkel and Laura hook up?
That was his 401k. Family Matters.
Step by Step, Suzanne Summers, Patrick Duffy. Can we get an update? Is Cody still living in the van?
How's Suzanne Summers looking these days?
Not bad.
Not bad?
Yeah.
I mean, she's up there. But
she's no Selma Hayek at 53.
All right, there you go. The daughters were hot in that show, too.
Yeah. Yes, they were. Yeah. They were very attractive.
All right, there you go. Mail sack every Tuesday at 2:15. Thank you for your questions and your participation. We'll get to the ones we didn't get to next week. And you can always send your questions to us at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Let's get back to some college football notes. How bad are things at Tennessee right now?
Oh, that's a good mailbag question for next week.
We got a good one? Okay.
The TV show you like, and you look back and you regret that you liked it.
Oh, I immediately know my answer, but I'll hold that for next week. all right. Some college football notes. Tennessee, some other bad performances from week one, some poll questions on it as well. We'll talk some more college football. Do it next. It's a curious thing. Make a one man weep, make another man sing. Hey, wrapping up week one of college football. We got to wait all the way until Friday for another game. Womp, womp. But the NFL is back on Thursday, so we got that going for us. Yeah. And Alex Rodriguez said something we need to get to in the final segment of the show.
That he is with the most gorgeous woman in the world?
No, it's actually a baseball thing. People are wondering, is this the dumbest thing ever said on a sports broadcast?
Do we think that's natural, what's going on?
With him and J-Lo?
No, with just J-Lo.
She's, no, of course not.
You don't think so?
No. I mean, I think she's more natural than some. But to look like that at the age of 50.
Did you see her at Magic Johnson's on his yacht?
Yeah. There's something going on there.
She's 50.
She's 50. It doesn't make any sense. There's something happening.
Or she's genetically blessed. It's remarkable. I'm not mad about it.
Remember when Tennessee was looking for a head coach a few years back and Mike Leach was the guy that they targeted in on?
Yeah, that's actually something I noted in my my old college football notes was bring this back up in 6 weeks that they're probably regretting that they ever ran the idea of Mike Leach out. I'll give you this.
They fired their AD. The AD got fired because that was his final conclusion because they tried to hire what the hell is his
Schiano.
Name? Schiano. Yes. And they then, all the stuff from Penn State came out. So the fans put the kibosh on it. They said no.
So then he went Leach.
And Leach was there. He was in Knoxville ready to sign the deal. People found out it leaked. The fans were outraged again. How Mike Leach can't coach. No. The AD gets fired. They land Jeremy Pruitt.
In the context of this, can you name me a bigger potential? If the Tennessee season goes completely into the gutter.
So if you don't know, they lost to Georgia State this weekend. They were a 25-point favorite.
So if they don't recover, they have another sub-bowl season. Is there going to be a bigger what if in the last decade of college football than Mike Leach and Tennessee?
I mean, that's going to be up there. If Jeremy Pruitt can't turn this thing around, which if you can't beat Georgia State at home, I don't know how you do. That's about as bad as it could get. There's no excuse for that.
Well, and the whole idea that like you run a certain system to make up the deficit of talent, I'm just starting to believe that's not true. Like more and more programs are running similar things to Leach than they are lining up in the old wishbone, right?
Well, to me, it's one of those things, like if you can run that with inferior talent and it makes you competitive, imagine what you could do with legitimate talent.
That's my point, is I just think no matter where he goes, if he stays at Wazoo forever, if he goes to Hawaii, whatever he does, he's winning. He's very unorthodox. He's a very different human being. But, dude, that guy just understands the nuances of offense in college football, and he has a track record that's longer than any coach they've had in their last three coaches. So, yeah, they ran him out. That I thought about this on my drive in case you brought them up. That might be my number one what if in college football in the last decade is if Mike Leach would have went to Tennessee. Where would they be today?
Yeah, so they were so outraged by it. The AD got fired. They land Jeremy Pruitt. They lose to Georgia State over the weekend. Georgia State, here is their head coach after the game, after beating Tennessee 38-30.
It's just a tribute to who they are. Special men, special team, special coaches. So proud of just what they stand for. It's truly amazing, you know. I kind of joked with them before the game. I said, this is the SEC, you know. They say it just means more. It just meant more to us today.
I love that.
So good, isn't it?
I mean, the SEC always has bragging rights, and for the most part, it's rightfully so. They win a lot of national championships down there. But I love moments like that as Georgia State went and knocked them off 38-30. It was an interesting week in the conference. You know, we focus so much on the Pac-12 usually out here that sometimes we forget the shortcomings of other conferences. Portland State almost beat Arkansas.
Almost did, yeah.
20-13 was the final. They held off Portland State at home. Wyoming beat Missouri 37-31. You had South Carolina blowing a lead in the fourth quarter to North Carolina and losing 24-20. You had Memphis beating Ole Miss 15-10. Yikes.
They were underdogs to Memphis.
Yikes. So it's not all sunshine and roses in other conferences. One other really cool thing happened over the weekend. We haven't really talked about this much, but it does tie in because Oregon plays them this week. Nevada beat Purdue. Purdue went to Nevada. Nevada knocked them off. Game-winning field goal. And here is the locker room scene after the game as the coach awards the game ball and then something really cool.
And last but not least, Steve Scully!
Hey, he's from Vacaville.
Scully! Congratulations. Outstanding. Game ball and scholarship.
God, that goosebumps.
Isn't that pretty cool? So, yeah, the Purdue had gone to their place. They knocked him off. They scored 17 points in the fourth quarter. Here's the final call.
With 3 seconds left from 56 yards out. Does he have it? Yes, he does! Nevada wins! That's a gun! It's good from 56! From the freshman Brandon Tong! Nevada 34! Purdue 31!
That's the CBS Sports Network. Yeah, Brandon Talton, I think is his name, is how you pronounce it, Brandon Talton. He was the one that knocked in the field goal, and I immediately wondered, wait a minute. Nevada's got a non-scholarship kicker that can knock in a 56-yarder to win a game, and Oregon can't make what's closer than a PAT. What the hell's going on here?
Oregon can't figure out which of the three kickers they want kicking.
Are you kidding me?
Those stories are really cool. If you've ever heard of Vacaville, I've mentored kids from there. It's a bad area.
Yeah.
It's not an area you want to raise kids in. So that's a really cool story from him. You know, on this conference stuff, because I don't think this conversation's ever going away. Matt Calkins, by the way, I know we're against it. He got a great money quote from Jimmy Lake, the D coordinator for the Huskies, about the Pac-12 perception, and we can read that on the other side. But, you know, the other thing I was thinking about this weekend, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Georgia. Sure, you can sprinkle in a Notre Dame here and there. You can sprinkle in, fill in the blank, LSU if you think they're legit, Michigan if you think they're legit. But overall, those five teams right there, just take them out of college football. Is there a difference? Like, really, is there a difference between conferences? Because I'm not sure there is.
No, I don't really think there is.
Of five teams, we sit here and people get on their high horse and they go, the Pac-12 sucks, the SEC's better, the ACC's the best. It's like, take away the five teams of college football right now that are consistently doing it the last 3-4 years. It's kind of all even. It's all just crap.
Yeah, I honestly feel like we've reached a point in college football. I even shorten it from five, man. I think we have two different worlds of college football. I think we have the world that Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia play in, and then the world that everybody else
plays
in.
And I'm okay with you doing that, too.
Like, Oklahoma's a damn good program, but they've gotten steamrolled back-to-back. Not steamrolled 2 years ago against Georgia. It's not fair. But they blew a big lead. They couldn't get a stop against Georgia. And then last year, they were down like 28-0 in the second quarter at Alabama.
Those semifinal games sucked.
Like, Notre Dame's good. They got housed by Clemson in that semifinal game. Ohio State's been good, but they haven't won a national championship in 5 years. I mean, I know that's 5 years. They just won one. But they beat Oregon in 2014, and they haven't been able to get over the top since then. I'd really think that you got three programs that are head and shoulders above everybody else, talent-wise on both sides of the ball, and then it's wide open. It's a battle for fourth place, and I think that would be a really fun battle to watch, but unfortunately nobody cares about fourth place.
And I think that's where I come down. Like, the Pac-12 is not the best conference. It's probably not even top three. I can acknowledge that, but if you took away the real horses with these different conferences,
yeah,
mainly we're all the same.
Well, we'll get to that Jimmy Lake quote on the other side. Also, Alex Rodriguez said something that you have to, I guess, hear to believe. We'll get to that coming up next. Also, we got to answer the poll questions. Wrap up the show next on The Fam. Hey, what is, when you're playing a baseball game, like your team's playing somebody, big game for the Braves, big game for the Dodgers,
My Braves have been playing good baseball.
They're playing really good. Yeah, they're going to be fun watching the playoffs.
The Nationals are 16-4 in their last 20.
Uh-huh.
And they're still the same amount of games back to when this streak started for them. Braves have been playing good baseball.
Good baseball. When they're up by 1, 2, 3, or 4 runs, potentially in a game, what leads make you feel most comfortable?
Baseball nowadays is interesting. I would say a decade ago, 4 runs makes you feel pretty safe. And now that's like, well, that could be done in one inning.
Would you rather have? A 1-run lead, a 2-run lead, a 3-run lead, or a 4-run lead?
A 4-run lead.
Everybody.
Okay.
Would,
and then what would follow a 4-run lead?
A 5-run lead.
No, like of those 4 options. It would be a 3-run lead, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And then you would work your way down.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Unless you're super confident in your pitching staff and you go 1.
The reason I say this, did you gentlemen see what Alex Rodriguez said on Sunday Night Baseball?
No, I missed that.
So it was the Phillies. I believe it was the Phillies and the Mets.
Yes, it was.
Phillies and Mets, Sunday Night Baseball. It was the 7th inning, okay? The Phillies were up 2-1 in the game, and they had a runner on 2nd with nobody out. And Alex, I didn't have somebody pull the audio because somebody like filmed it on their TV, so it wasn't that great, so I just figured I'd read it. So the situation, runner on 2nd, nobody out, Phillies up 2-1, bottom of the 7th inning. Alex Rodriguez on the telecast argued that you should bunt that runner over to 3rd base in order to take a 2-run lead because he said 2-run leads are better than 1-run leads, and he said 3-run leads are better than 4-run leads.
Did he get confused?
He got confused.
Yeah, he got
confused.
Yeah. Look, that's not fair to him. He doesn't believe that. It's just like when we say so, I trip up all the time. I've tripped up like 4 times in this show. But if you hold it against me, I'm going to sound like a moron.
It just stands out when you say it on ESPN. And it went viral on Twitter. People saying, wait a minute, did he just say a 2-run lead is better than a 3-run lead?
But if I said tomorrow, Dirt, you're going to have to be the national radio host from noon to 3 on ESPN radio for the next 4 months. First of all, you're taking a major dump because you're so nervous about that news. Second of all, you're probably tripping up a few times your first show, right?
Sure.
It's not going to stop.
I just figured I'd pass that along. I thought it was kind of funny.
You hate A-Rod.
No, I actually really like A-Rod. I think he's a really good commentator.
So why are you doing this to my guy?
Somebody had a Pete Alonso. Remember when Pete Alonso struck out and he snapped the bat over his knee? Somebody said, when you're up 3-1 and you hit a solo home run, and then him snapping the bat. Damn it, we're up by 2, now we're up by 3.
So did Mendoza or?
Nobody, I mean, the video was so short, it cuts off right at the end of his rant. So I don't know if anybody said, wait a minute, did you just, that didn't make any
sense. Is it Vasgersian with him?
Matt Vasgersian, Jessica Mendoza, and A-Rod. Is that going well?
Crew.
I don't think so, but, you know.
Is that like the Booger Witten Tessitore?
No, I don't think it. I mean, if I catch a Sunday night game, I don't. They're fine.
Is it also possible, too, because we deal with this, where if you admit an allegiance to something and you talk about a team that goes against said allegiance, people just think you hate that team. You're a honk. You're a homer. You're a hater. Right.
They seem to get along. So there's no awkwardness in there the way that there was with Booger and Witten and Tessitore, where you're like, what? I don't understand what's going on.
But Mendoza, what I meant by my point was Mendoza works for a team. And I'm not sure, like, is it totally just, it's cool with ESPN to just have her as the play-by-play, even though she's working specifically for a team.
I didn't know she worked for a team.
Yeah, it's like the Mets. It might be the Mets.
Somebody hired her.
Somebody hired her to do something with scouting player personnel or something. And I remember everybody seeing that and going, oh, well.
Well,
she's done,
and ESPN's
like, no, she's still going to do the Sunday Night Baseball games.
There's going to be a couple, like Greg Olson and somebody else who are on active rosters this year, I think on their bye week, are going to be part of NFL broadcast teams or something.
Gotcha, okay.
So it's more about the league, if the league thinks it's a conflict of interest than the...
Right.
I mean, if you're a good broadcaster and a TV station wants to put you on the air, they're going to put you on the air.
They're going to take him. Yeah, so that's what Alex Rodriguez said on Sunday Night Baseball. One other quote to get to, got to read this one off. Jimmy Lake was asked about the perception stuff in the Pac-12 and the SEC and, you know, people being down on the conference, all that stuff. Jimmy Lake is the Washington defensive coordinator, in case you don't know. Here's what he had to say, quote, you know, I believe that this is a huge question, obviously, but I think we're the only, this is how I would answer this, we're the only Power 5 conference out west. I don't think there's a huge microscope on us. I lived in Florida, in Tampa, in Detroit. I've been an East Coast guy, and I couldn't stay awake for the West Coast games, so I know what the East Coast bias is all about. I do think there's a bigger microscope every time we lose a game against an opponent from anywhere else. What should be the story this week is there's this other conference that lost a whole bunch of games. If our conference would have lost a whole bunch of games, there would have been an article after article about how bad football is out west, but you don't see those articles being written because they want to make sure they keep that East Coast bias up. And so I think there's talented teams out west. I think there's talented players out west. Everything goes in cycles, and I think you'll see as we move forward that this is more media contrived than actual facts. And so if you're, I mean, he's alluding to the SEC in that of the weekend the SEC had.
Yeah, you could tone to the ACC too.
The ACC was garbage. I think the bigger issue for the Pac-12 is they don't have a team in the top five to distract from.
Yeah, you don't have a dominant team.
When you go back to when Pete Carroll was at USC.
It wasn't a great conference at that point.
No, but you didn't have these perception things.
Right.
Because USC was you know, in the top five and blowing people out, and they carried the banner for the Pac-12.
So I saw a clip, and I was going to pull it for today's show, and maybe we play it tomorrow or something, but I saw a clip of Paul Feinbaum, and I know he was joking. You can tell he's saying it in jest, but he basically is like, you know, you could make an argument Notre Dame doesn't deserve to ever be in the playoff again. Ridiculous, right? If Notre Dame goes undefeated, they have a good schedule, put them in. Who is the equivalent of that on the West Coast? And then who would champion our argument that, hey, these other conferences, let's not act like they're all that amazing right now in college football. The Big 12 seems to be pretty good. Big 10, pretty well-rounded. The SEC has some real garbage at the bottom. The Pac-12's got some real garbage at the bottom. And the ACC is garbage in general. Who is the person that champions it? Because for some reason, you've had Stuart Mandel speak out against it, right? The ACC's not good. Joe Klatt champions the Pac-12 a little bit. Who is the person that it takes to really change people's thinking on this thing of, hey, they have one team. That doesn't mean their conference is good because Clemson's rolling right now and nobody talks about the ACC.
I don't think any one person's going to be able to do it. I really don't. I think it comes down to winning those one games, which is dumb. It's not a fair and accurate way to represent an entire conference, but that's the world we live in, man. That's the way it works. And if other conferences are winning them and the Pac-12 isn't, that's how you're going to be judged. We asked, will Jason Swigard be able to squat 300 pounds tomorrow? 93% of you say no.
7% of people believe in him.
Yes. Wow. We also asked, will he hit the over or the under of squatting 185 pounds?
Under.
Let me see here. 68% said the over. Said he gets 185 plus. Those polls will be open tomorrow. You can go vote on them. What will Oregon State's record be after you've seen them play for 1 week? 41% of you say 3-9. And what will Oregon's record be after seeing them play for 1 week? 36% of you say 10-2. There you go. Good show. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We'll tweet it out at Thurton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Tomorrow on the show, Mario Cristobal will join us at 12:15, the head coach of the Oregon Ducks. We'll ask him what he thinks went wrong against Auburn late in that game. And we'll preview Nevada, their home opener, this upcoming weekend. And we'll have a full report on Jason Swigard's squatting capabilities. All of that tomorrow. Thank you for being a part of our Tuesday. Number One's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.